Telecom in the US is trying to open a new throughput valve in space while tightening security on the ground. The question is whether cheaper, faster broadband lands without court delays or compliance bottlenecks. We've got an April 30th satellite spectrum vote, an April 20th equipment authorization reciprocity item, tougher robocall KYC, an inquiry in GN Docket 2678, and another accessibility delay to November 29th, 2027.
Start with satellites. The FCC set an April 30th vote to replace 1990s-era EPFD power limits with performance-based protection criteria for GEO systems, enabling more flexible spectrum sharing with NGSOs like SpaceX's Starlink and Amazon's Kuiper. Chairman Brendan Carr said the changes could unlock more than $2 billion in benefits and up to sevenfold capacity, arguing current rules overprotect GEO networks. The proposal leans on adaptive coding and modulation, plus good faith coordination with technical backstops.
The win if it passes. NGSOs can, in some scenarios, run 8 simultaneous satellites over an area instead of one. More throughput without breaching interference limits. If adopted April 30th, operators could reconfigure networks and CPE profiles relatively quickly. But commercial realization likely staggers by geography and coordination outcomes. Rural broadband bids should assume lower satellite unit costs and higher available capacity, putting price pressure on fixed wireless and last-mile overbuilds.
But deliverable without wrecking neighbors. Viasat and DirecTV have objected, and SES flagged interference concerns. If incumbents litigate, does any of this change pricing in 2026?
That's the tension. Bargaining power shifts toward LEO constellations if performance-based sharing sticks. GEO video and broadband see higher interference management overhead and may need tighter SLAs to hold customers. Cable operators rolling DOCSIS 4.0 can price to defend share, but the competitive set broadens. LEO backhaul becomes more credible for rural ISPs and enterprise SD-WAN, reducing reliance on costly microwave hops. The FCC hardened the Wi-Fi supply chain last week. This week, it's effectively opening a throughput valve in space, pushing down the broadband floor price outside metro cores.
I want proof fast. Two signals. Whether the order survives early court challenges and whether Starlink, Kuiper publish updated capacity maps or enterprise SLA tiers within a quarter of the vote. No maps, no saving story.
Now, the other hand, security and compliance. The FCC's April open meeting on April 20th is slated to consider an equipment authorization reciprocity proposal, requiring test labs and certification bodies to be in the U.S. or in countries with reciprocal trade agreements, and seeking comment on phasing out labs in non-reciprocal countries. Reuters framed it as a move to ban Chinese labs from testing U.S. electronics. Separately, the commission proposes tightening know-your-customer rules for originating voice providers, more rigorous onboarding and identity verification, per-call penalties for violations, and 4-year record retention. On April 2nd, the FCC proposed a $4.5 million fine on Voxbeam for taking traffic from Axphone, a foreign provider not listed in the robocall mitigation database, which allegedly enabled financial impersonation calls.
That's a squeeze. If you tighten lab geography and ramp KYC at the same time, you risk bottlenecks. Smaller OEMs could face longer certification queues. Smaller VoIP originators could either exit or route offshore. What happens if lab capacity doesn't expand fast enough?
Then product launch lead times extend and certification costs rise, particularly for CPE, small cells, and IoT modules. Mitigations now? Dual source authorized labs, pre-book test windows, build schedule float. For voice providers, budget for upgraded KYC tooling, data storage, and risk scoring workflows. Per-call penalties change exposure math on high-volume traffic. The enforcement tone is already here. On April 7, the FCC suspended multiple individuals from E-Rate and other universal service programs under new, faster debarment rules adopted March 26, signaling a broader fraud and compliance crackdown.
Passing those costs through will be easy. Schools and libraries under E-Rate can't absorb much vendor overhead. And on robocalls, bad actors morph. KYC pushes them to different on-ramps.
One more security strand. The FCC's Public Safety and Homeland Security Bureau is hosting a cybersecurity workshop for broadcasters on May 14th, citing recent ransomware incidents that disrupted operations. The guidance stresses MFA, network segmentation, tested backups, and zero trust. Practical steps, and a signal that even small and mid-sized providers are on the hook. For systems integrators, that's near-term services revenue tied to a concrete date.
Zooming out, are these security steps shaping market structure, or are we just stacking rules?
There is a market structure thread. The FCC opened its Communications Marketplace Report Inquiry, GN Docket 26-78, with comments due May 21st and replies June 22nd. It assesses competition across ISPs, cable, satellite, and telcos, and notes legal shifts since 2024, including court moves on top four TV ownership and the Nexstar Tegna waiver, now facing court challenges. How the report frames substitution among cable, satellite, and fixed wireless can flow into future merger reviews and bundle pricing dynamics.
And accessibility? The audible crawl rule was delayed again, now to November 29, 2027. After six waivers since its 2013 adoption because there's no workable technical solution for automating aural descriptions of non-textual emergency graphics. That's a reality check. Technical feasibility can stall policy for years.
It also defers CapEx. The FCC flagged it may amend the rule to eliminate an unworkable provision while preserving access. Budget modestly for engineering in 2027 and track whether the Media Bureau's petition is resolved sooner. Meanwhile, The Hill reports the FCC is eyeing live sports broadcast rules amid fan frustration. If that proceeds, distributors could face new carriage norms, another variable in video broadband churn models.
I'm skeptical on timing. Unless the commission moves quickly, sports carriage effects are more 2027 than 2026.
One big thing to watch. After the April 30th satellite vote, look for Starlink and Kuiper to publish revised capacity maps or enterprise SLA tiers within one quarter. If those land on time, 2026 price and capacity gains are in play. If not, incumbents hold more pricing power a bit longer.